Billy ran. In war, given responsibility, the enemy before him, he turned and ran. I knew what I was supposed to feel over this. What the colonels wanted me to feel. The generals, the politicians. Those in charge of sending boys to their destruction. Embarrassment, mortification, shame. But I felt none of those things. I felt glad for him. Glad that in those last moments of his life, facing that unstoppable machine with its mincing harrow, he became a boy again, and did what any boy would do. Run with all his strength towards life, towards safety. And my only regret, the regret that will never heal, is that he did not run faster. The spade cutting the earth, the hissing sound of the lantern, the wet concussive roar overhead, the blackness, the frightened contractions of my heart. These are my memories now, what I will live with. Dawson came back again, his greatcoat caked in mud, the rain on his forehead making livid his scars. Something in the sound must have worried him, for the putty was off the rifle now, and his expression was focused and wary. He squatted down near the rum jar, seemed surprised I was still there. "Is this the same story you told the girl?" I asked. He shrugged, pulled his collar up around his neck. "She wanted the exact spot. How to get there? I had her money, so I told her. Walk east from the trench, direct into the wind. There's a scoop in the ground. Assembly trench, and you follow that, not the road. You know when you're getting close, when you come to two tanks in the mud? They're up on end, leaning against each other. The praying tanks, we call them. That was our advance front line. The wire is thick, three belts where it's not cut. Out in front is the funhouse, and 80 yards beyond that is the German trench with more wire. It's in between where he got hit.